Judges is located right after the book of Joshua. True Christian church never swung little sword against anyone who disagreed with its belief. But we do have obligation before God to maintain our separate walk with those who don't believe our way, God's way. We must seek by prayer and witness and loving persuasion to win those people's heart. We cannot demand those people to believe the way we believe with a sword like Muslims do. They said, Quran or sword. However, we don't do that. We win them by love, Jesus Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 6:14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. This famous verse, some of you guys know it by heart. It said, Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with the darkness? We already know that this is not only applies to the marriage and dating, courtship, and it also applies to anything that we deal with the business, or not a partnership with the business. Let's go to the few more verses down, and then we'll find verse 1 of chapter 7. I'm going to read from the NIV. And don't even come up with that joke about the Neil-inspired version. Verse 1, Since we have this promise, dear friends, and let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting the holiness out of reverence of God. Some of your versions said the fear of God. Same meaning. Because we love Him, because we care about Him, because we don't want to blaspheme His name, we will do right things. Not because He's going to clobber us with the, you know, whatever majority of people will think. We love Him, so we want to do what is right in the sight of God. The Jewish people eventually become accustomed to the sinful way that they see from the surrounding nation, such as the Canaanite, Perizzite, Hittite, Hivites, all those ites, Jebusites, those people. See, the water flows down, gravity goes down, and we will most likely turn to from good to bad. Second law of thermodynamics is what? From normal to chaos. Somebody's far smarter than I am. Now, if you're like me, if you learn other language, what is the first word you would learn and you memorize and remember? Foul language. Foul language. Foul language. No, if you learn foreign language. If you learn foreign language, you will remember is foul language. Especially if you've been in the military, you go to the different countries, you will remember all the bad language, but you forget all the good language. That's a common, because we have a corrupted nature in our heart. For the believers today, first step away from God is this kind of thing. So, you might want to take a look at it, jot it down if you like. For believers today, the first step away from the Lord is friendship with the world. James 4:4. And next step is love the world, followed by gradually becoming confirmed into the world. Instead of transforming in the image of Jesus Christ by renewing our heart, we end up conforming into the world. And then this can lead us to being condemned with the world. And then we get the judgment. like Lot and Samson and King Saul. We don't want to be in the same faith like these people. Why? Because they, instead of staying and confirming and transforming into the image of Jesus Christ, image of God, they made their union with the world. Then I have to ask myself, ask yourself, what about, does it mean the idea of being with the sinners? Does it mean being with the worldly people? We cannot be around. Well, if that's the case, we have to live in an isolated island. That's not what Jesus said. I said this before, I will say it many times. Boats should be in the ocean, in the water. If the boat is on the mountaintop, that's nothing more than a gigantic container. You follow me? The boat should be in the water to use fullest capacity. However, if the water comes into the boat, boat sinks. Mark chapter 2, verse 15. Let's go there quickly. Mark chapter 2, verse 15. By the way, this Sunday is the last study of the book of Genesis. And after that, we are going to study the book of Mark. Please read ahead. The book of Mark is only 16 chapters. It's a great book. Fast pace. Verse 15. Now it happened as he was dining in he, that is Jesus Christ, in dining in Levi's house, that is Levi the tax collector, or known, also known as Matthew, down the road. Then many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with the tax collectors and sinners? Folks, let's make a clear distinction between a friend of sinner and a friend of the world. Do you see the difference? Friend of sinner, that we are supposed to be. That's what Jesus did. He hung around with the sinners and they made feel comfortable and they wanted to get to know Jesus. But being a friend of the world is we making ourselves equally yoked with the world. That's what we just had. Friendship of the world is a bad thing. Since I mentioned that, let's go to Genesis, James chapter 4, verse 4. James is located right after the Hebrews. As soon as I find the Hebrews, I'll get to James. James chapter 4, verse 4. This is clearly spoken by God. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know the friendship with the world is enmity with God? That means enemy. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world, make himself enemy of God. Friend of sinners, yes, but friend of the world, no. So we already studied the first chapter of the book of Genesis and Judges. Since we studied Genesis so long, I'm going to make the same Genesis. We found that this Israeli people are supposed to go conquer a lot of the land one by one, but they did not drive out all the inhabitants. Why? Because they compromise. They choose not to. Somehow they think that, oh, we can conquer them, we can handle them. Really, we are going to find out. Chapter 2 is in typical Hebrew writing fashion. He's going back. Don't think that this is chronologically right behind whatever happened after the chapter 1. Because when you read chapter 2, verse 1, and there is Joshua coming back alive. In verse 1 of chapter 1, Joshua is already dead. Did he come back alive again? No, this is typical Jewish Hebrew style, going back without any chronological order, talking about more in detail. You with me? I know we Western mind everything has been chronological order. No, it's not that way. Let's have a word of prayer before we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. Open our heart to receive your truth, that we may not be the friend of sinners, a friend of the world, but let us be the friend of sinners like Jesus Christ, to win their heart with the love of God. so that they may see the same truth we have. That is in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 2. The angel of the Lord, underline the angel of the Lord, please, came up from the Gilgal to the Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your father. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice, and why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be a thorn in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you. So it was, when the angel of the Lord spoke this word to all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. Then they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. And when Joshua had dismissed the people, children of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. In the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is often generally describing as the Jesus Christ himself, or God in pre-incarnation stage, visiting in human form. So there's a fancy word, theological word, that is, theophany. Theo, that means that is God, and phony is presenting, and in other words, a Christophany. Actually, this is, in my opinion, Christophany is a more correct description. Christ himself, the one second in command and second person in Godhead, Son of God himself, is showing. Chapter 5 of Book of Joshua. Joshua finding this person is standing in the middle of the road with a sword drawn. Remember that portion? And he is saying, who are you? Are you a foe or friend? And neither. I'm the captain of the heavenly army. He said that, but he was not saying that I'm on your side. He declared who he is, and we are on his side, we are against him. Now, this is Christophany. Pre-incarnation stage that God is showing himself to us and to the Old Testament people. That was before Jesus Christ became a little babe in the manger. The angel of the Lord appeared to bring the important message. So you can tell this is so important message. He didn't send out the angel from heaven. Here's a message to my people. Instead of that, he personally delivered this message. The message he gave to Joshua was a message of encouragement. However, the message he's giving to these people, Israeli people, at this time is a message of punishment that is about to happen. By their disobedience, the nation of Israel made it clear that they would rather be with the different countries, the countries that they are not supposed to be with. Because they wanted to be with these people, God allowed them. They become a thorn to afflict Israel, and they became a trap to ensnare them. Israel would look at the Canaanites as a pleasure, but their pleasure become a terrible thing to experience. And also, they thought it was a freedom. The freedom become a bondage to them down the road. They became a slave, literally. Many people who have addiction in their lives, such as drug, alcohol, gambling, or whatever you face, sex, they don't think that they are going to be the slaves of the addiction. When they start it, they think that, oh, this is a harmless thing, I can handle it. Really, that bondage made them to be the slave of death. Their sorrow was because of the consequences. These people were crying. They lifted their voice and cried to God. Why were they crying? Were they repenting? Folks, there's a difference between repenting and remorse. Remorse, they are sorry that they got caught. If there's any given opportunity, they will do it again. Repentance is making a changed action. Let's continue in verse 7. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of elder who outlived Joshua and who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he has done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountain of Ephraim, and on the north side of the Mount Gash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know. Underline that another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the works that he had done for Israel. How important it is for each new generation to have a personal relationship with God Himself. There is no such a thing as a biological transfer from one generation to another generation about the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Good example, PK, pastor's kids. They are, in my opinion, they are the most rebellious kid. A lot of them, generally. Good example is Franklin Graham, Dr. Billy Graham's son. If there's any kid who would be close to like angel, that would be Franklin Graham. Wouldn't that be? Yeah, but he was very rebellious. He didn't like what the God that his father served. Until 17 years old, he resented the father's God. Then one day he met that God. Now, he even looked like his daddy, doesn't he? He even talked like his daddy. Alright, let's continue in verse 11. Then by the way, speaking of Franklin Graham, Tucson is going to bring the Franklin Graham's. Let's pray. Many people come to know Jesus. Of course, we're going to get involved with that crusade. Verse 11. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed their gods, other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served the Baal and Ashtoreth. Why would anyone trade this personal and a real living God with this figment of the man's imagination? Come on, this is talk back time. Give me a good reason. Lust, okay. Tangible things, all right, good. What else? No commitment. Huh? Pleasurable. They're all good answers. They're all good answers. So far, this God, the one Jehovah God, is invisible. They cannot see his. So they rather have something that are tangible, exactly, and appeal to their pleasures. These so-called gods, the idols, appeal to their fleshly desires. Let's look at the bottom line of the Baal. What's the Baal representing? It's personal wealth. What is the Ashtoreth representing? Sex. So personal wealth and a sex. Well, there we go. There's a fleshly desire. And then there's a California. And then the rest of America. This is the reason why the people going through this country. Because it appealed to them. Not only that, the God of Isaac and Abraham and Jacob and Moses and Joshua cannot be controlled. They have to be submitted. They have to submit to this God. But this idol, no big deal. Just put him in the pocket. Take it somewhere. You don't like it? Throw it away. Make another one. You can literally control these gods. Let's face it, we like to control things, right? We all want to control. The reason why we like to control is because of our pride. When we have to submit to somebody who has ultimate control, that brings humility. That goes against the grain. When we forget the Word of God, that is the start of the danger of forsaking our God. I've never seen anyone who stay in the Word of God 100% yet forgetting God. When they want to walk away from God, the first thing they do, discard this book. And the second thing they do, discarding prayer. Their personal relationship with them, daily devotion become absolute and then disconnected, then that person goes down the drain rather quickly. Israel did not see the idolatry as a forsaking God. They thought, well, we'll just add a few more on top of what we have. Guess what? Our God is a jealous God. And He will not tolerate sharing our lives with anyone else. 1 John 4:4, greater that is in me than is he that is in the world. He doesn't say greater is in me and he that is in the other side of your heart. He will not share our devotion with someone else, including ourselves. God isn't that something just we added into our lives. He wants all of our lives. And He wants us to completely devoted to Him and follow Him. Let me put it this way. If I say, if husband or wife, anyone would say, okay, I love you, but I love the other person, and this person too, I can love them all. You know, if I had come up with that kind of stupid idea, my wife has a Glock 27, 40 caliber gun, she will finish me off. And she will notify Pastor Chuck Smith in Costa Mesa while Jun Ho Kim is no longer with the Calvary Chapel. And I don't blame her. God will not share. Let me go back one more time. Marriage, spouse is supposed to meet everybody. All the needs of the other person. God is there to meet our needs alone. No one else. He would not share that devotion with any other so-called gods. Verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and so He delivered them into the hands of the plunderers who despoiled them, and He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity. As the Lord had said, and as the Lord has sworn to them, they were greatly distressed. If they obeyed the Lord, and their army would have been victorious. But because they disobeyed the Lord, they were always losing the battle, humiliated. The purpose of this thing, this chastisement, is not for the punishment for the sake of punishment, but rather is bring them back to Himself. It's God wants them to repent, not just plain punishment. As long as we obey the Lord, we will be strong. But when we get out of His will, He will literally take His protective hands off from us and let us go down the drain so that we may learn. Some people say, well, I came back to God, but I'm still going through a rough time. The reason is because He wanted to take the last drop of the bitterness of the consequences of our sin. That way, we may never go back to that sin again. Let's continue in verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up the judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with the other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the ways in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandment of the Lord, and they did not do so. And when the Lord raised up the judges for them, the Lord was with the judges, a judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of judges. For the Lord was moved to the pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. Verse 19, and it came to pass when the judge was dead, they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and to bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doing, nor from their stubborn ways. Underline stubborn ways, please. See, the way I look at it is these people are wasting their suffering. When we go through suffering, when we go through this action, result of our wrongdoing, we need to learn. Of course, we all know the hindsight is what? 2020, because we can look back and see what we have done wrong. If we don't learn from our mistake, we are wasting their suffering. God's desire for us to learn, and God's desire for us to have a constant relationship with Him. And that ultimate example is found in Jesus in John chapter 5, please. John chapter 5, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son cannot do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Jesus was completely depends on the Father. Why? Because he cannot do things. Yes, he can do the things, but yet he is making an example for us. He wants us to have a constant dependency on God the Father. Israel people's sin is their own doing. They could not blame on anyone. As I said before on Sunday morning, when we sin against God, we cannot say, "Devil made me to do it." That's a garbage excuse. The oldest excuse man ever created. Another word I asked you on the line, it was a stubborn way. It also can be translated stiff neck. How many of you guys heard the word stiff neck? And throughout the entire book of Exodus, you are stiff necked people. Moses said it and God said it. This stiff neck is a really interesting word. When a person is humble, Oriental people's case, they bow down. When we go into the known as dojo or the martial art place, the first thing as we walk in, we bow to the flag, national flag. If we don't do that, we get kicked. If we don't have that kind of humility, our neck is stiff and we will not bow down to God, He will kick us. He will take the pride out of our heart for whatever it is. It is no wonder why there's a seventh sin that God hates most. The foremost thing is haughty eyes. Somehow we think we are special when we are nothing, as 1 Corinthians says. God delivered His people by raising up the judges. This judge is, in the word, is the definition is to save and to rescue. These are not just military leaders, they are actual judges. They solve the dispute, settle the dispute among them. Verse 20. Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He said, "Because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I recommended their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept or not." Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did He deliver them into the hand of Joshua, also this hand of Israel people. Israel wanted this Canaanite nation around, so guess what the God did for punishment? The worst thing for them, they let him have it. When we want something so bad, if we want something so bad against God's will, guess what God will do? He will let us have it. He will let us have that our own medicine to the last drop. How do I know? Because I insist my way. Guess what I got? I got my way. It took me a long time to crawl out of that problem. Cycle of disobedience, discipline, and of course despair and deliverance, it was continuous going. Remember this circle I drew last week? That was continuous going away. Did it stop? No, we're still going through. Once we start to say no to God's way, it doesn't matter what kinds of excuse we come up with. You know, what boggles my mind is those who know the word will go through that. And I'm wondering, which part of this God says, no, you don't understand? Am I above that? Absolutely not. I go through the same problem. I will step out of God's will and He bring me back. Of course, when He bring me back, He smack on the side of my head. That's why I have my own woodshed with my own name on the door panel. I wish I learned that I don't go back to that door woodshed often, but stubborn bullhead that I am, I go back. By now, I should have learned that. Only thing is, that comforts me is I go there less and less. Frequency is slowing down. Let's make application. Number one, we should not cheat ourselves by settling for less than what God has for us. We should not cheat ourselves by settling for less than what God has for us. If we do, we will allow the experience, and God will allow to experience the bitter harvest of settling for less than His best. You know, what is the Hallmark's slogan? Send. What? When you care enough, send the best. Jesus was the God's best. And God's will is not to harm us, to prosper us, to be fruitful in our life. But we often settle for less because we don't want to go that far. We don't want to be so dogmatic about being a Christian. Let's not settle for less. Second application. To follow our God, we must be grateful for what we have, what He has done for us. We cannot really follow God when we don't appreciate what He has done for us. How can we follow Him when we don't like what He's doing? Am I making sense to you? It's a rather simple principle, but not many of us ignore it. With what? Murmuring, complaining. Guess what? Why did these Israeli people did not enter into the promised land? Because they complained. They whine. Folks, may I remind you, let's stop complaining for what we have. It could be far worse. You agree? It could be far worse. Oh, how I need to remember this. When I want to start to complain for what I don't have, let's remember what I have. Because there's many countries, people around the world don't even have what I want to throw away. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Your word is alive and active and sharper than two-edged sword. You're dividing our heart that we may see the truth. who name know your intention. Let us not be hindered by our own desire, but let us seek your face, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto us. That is in Jesus' name.